Expo, Sermon 23, a sermon preached in the Faustus Basilica on the vision of God. In the introduction to that sermon, Augustine states that those listening to him that day were in the position to judge him, despite the literal high ground he occupied to ensure his voice carried over the crowd. Immediately preceding his admonition regarding discipleship, he cites Matthew 23, verse 10, quote, "Do not wish to be called masters. You have one master, the Christ," end quote. In the following paragraph, Augustine reminds his listeners that he, like them, is a disciple of Jesus, and that together they are learners. The text continues on at length and addresses other spiritual concerns, but in those opening paragraphs, Thomas of Ireland found his message regarding masters. Quote, "It is safer to be a hearer of words than a speaker of words," end quote. So opens Thomas of Ireland's lemma, Magister. The pursuit of learning required knowledge of a great and wide ocean of books that were not easily explored. Thomas's Manipulus Florum offered a bouquet of wisdom on the subjects of discere, learning, doctrina sive doctor, teaching, studium, study, sapientia vel sciencia, wisdom and knowledge. Under these lemmata, Thomas assembled 166 quotations. The Lemma Magister, however, has only 7. Because Thomas intended the reading of these common topics to be a means of self-improvement, one must question why Magister, which was a status Thomas attained and the rank to which a member of the Sorbonne from whose library he gleaned these quotations, received such scant treatment. This opening quotation from Augustine reflects the way Thomas intended to continue. Through these quotations, in the midst of student culture and an intellectual climate concerned with orthodoxy, Thomas of Ireland emphasized the importance of humble discipleship, even for those who held the position of master. Before exploring Thomas's ideas about teaching and learning in more detail, it is important to explore the context of the compiler and the text. Thomas of Ireland was a fellow of the Sorbonne in Paris on 9 June 1295. A cartulary document from the Sorbonne indicates that he attained the rank of Master of Arts, suggesting he was between 20 and 30 years of age at the time. Entrance into the Sorbonne required previous attainment of the degree of Master of Arts, as the college was intended for those who wished to pursue the doctorate of theology. Thomas achieved the bachelor in theology, but not the rank of Master of Theology. We do not know much about his life after his studies. Sources indicate that he continued as a socius of the Sorbonne, which would have granted him access to the library there. The early statutes of the Sorbonne restricted the circulation of books to members of the college who were not to remove them nor lend them to anyone outside the college. It is from these books that Thomas says he, quote, "collected the ears of grain from the original sources," end quote. He stated that, "I have compiled here certain better known or more common topics that very often appear in sermons or lectures and with which a person can improve himself in every way," end quote. Mary and Richard Rose argue that the Florilegist's choice of words to, quote, "express the activity of compilation reveals something of his attitudes and unconscious assumptions," end quote. Thomas's intention of self-improvement forms the basis of Chris Nyman's argument that Thomas intended the text for student use. By removing the Manipulus Florum from the exclusive domain of sermon preparation and aligning it with educational purposes, Nyman opens new opportunities to understand Thomas's ideas about the role of teaching and learning in the 13th and early 14th centuries. While Thomas himself wrote only the preface of the Manipulus Florum, his textual selections reveal the environment in which he studied, lived, and worked. In the preface, Thomas of Ireland wrote that, quote, "Since the sea of original books is like a great and wide ocean that cannot be explored by just anyone, it seemed to me to be more useful to have a few sayings of the doctors at hand rather than too many. Indeed, a person could have sailed across it and come back empty-handed," end quote. This quotation reflects a shift away from high medieval reading culture that focused on the attainment of wisdom towards an attitude of reading that emphasized knowledge acquisition that could be quickly retrieved. This fragmented style of reading removed passages from their context, which obscured the meaning of the original text. The separation of the quotations from their original sources indicates that study of Florilegia generally and the Manipulus Florum specifically, would benefit from the application of Michel Foucault's questions about authorship. Quote, what are the modes of existence of this discourse? Where has it been used? How can it circulate? And who can appropriate it for himself? What are the places in it where there is room for possible subjects? And who can assume these various subject functions? End quote. These questions help readers understand the author function, which is the use of a name as a signifier of texts to help group, define, differentiate, and contrast them. Foucault described the author function as integral to the, quote, legal and institutional systems that circumscribe and articulate the realm of discourses, end quote. The author, or in this case the compiler, rather than standing as an independent thinker who has represented his own thoughts through the medium of writing, becomes a channel through which the ideas and values of his world flow. The nature of florilegia lends itself to the idea of author function in two ways. The first is that the quotations are taken from writers who were deemed authorities by the church. The fragmented nature of florilegia and the role of the compiler signify another important aspect of author function. According to Foucault, authors were the voices for the systems in which they lived, rather than individuals acting independently. The format of florilegia illustrates the subjective nature of text. Instead of hearing the original author's message in the quotations, readers see the compiler's priorities as revealed in the passages he selected. Through compilation, Thomas of Ireland assumes the second facet of the author function as an actor in 14th century intellectual culture. He provided a textual insight into the world in which he lived. In light of the cultural context in which Thomas compiled the Manipulus, the text included in the Lemma Magister take on a deeper meaning. The excerpts become Thomas's comment on important elements in the process of teaching, and more importantly, as we shall see, learning. Florilegia served the textual needs of university students at the time. In light of Thomas's intention that the Manipulus Florum was for self-improvement, it is important to consider the world in which the students who read this text lived. The intellectual climate at the university facilitated the development of scholarly identity. The university taught requisite skills for future clerics and administrators. Despite the fact that most students did not intend to pursue a university career, those who graduated with a Master of Arts, the rank which all fellows of the Sorbonne obtained prior to matriculation there, were required to teach as regent masters. The end of the 13th and beginning of the 14th centuries marked a transition in the university culture. Student regulations became more formal, and concerns for personal formation began to take priority alongside of intellectual development. Generally, students matriculated to the university as a step on the journey towards earning a credential or a potential career advantage. The identity formation of the university differed from formation in other contexts, such as guild apprenticeships or chivalric education. The university students lived with two stereotypes. The first were the studious, celibate, and religious scholars who did not participate in worldly behaviors, and the second were the drunken, violent, and often sexually aggressive men who sought to establish masculine identity among his peers. It was in the midst of this developmental context that Thomas of Ireland compiled his Manipulus Florum. In addition to the student culture, it's also important to consider the late 13th and early 14th century intellectual development in relation to the condemnation heresies over the course of the period. One advantage of florilegia at this time was the assurance that none of the texts were suspected of heresy. This concern for heresy was important. In 1277 alone, there were 220 condemnations, with an additional 13 cases in the first half of the 14th century. It is important to note that the censures in this period, and particularly on the university campuses, were related to academic sanctions, which resulted in the restriction of teaching authority, rather than interpretations that this was an interference with academic freedom. Orthodoxy was important to maintain teaching roles within the university, particularly within the Sorbonne, whose primary area of instruction was theology. Thomas of Ireland's concern for humility in teaching and learning emerged from the intellectual climate in the wake of the condemnations. To teach theology in this period was to engage in a scientific discourse that required rational and analytical models. Vain curiosity had the potential to draw students away from the pursuit of knowledge for salvation. It also wasted time on futile research, and frequently it was the junior faculty who engaged in this kind of study. The goal was to investigate truth cautiously and soberly. The corrective nature of the disciplinary proceedings connected to the heretical condemnations indicates the need for students to engage in their studies with humility. Frequently, younger members of the community sought fame first and truth second. Predilection to fame precludes humility. Thomas reminds students that learning requires humility, not fame. Having established the intellectual and student context from which this text emerged, I will now explore the quotations Thomas included under the Lemma Magister in more detail. Thomas followed a specific order in the presentation of his texts. The place of priority went to Augustine of Hippo, the 4th century doctor of the church whose writings pervade medieval theology. The excerpt Thomas drew from this sermon says, quote, "It is dangerous to be the master. Discipleship is secure. Therefore, the psalmist says, it is dangerous to be the master. Therefore, the psalmist says, by listening, you will give me joy and exaltation. Indeed, it is safer to be a hearer of words than a preacher of words." End quote. If we consider this passage removed from its late 4th and early 5th century context and read it in the context of late 13th and early 14th centuries, what remains is an admonishment to continue learning, even if one finds oneself in the position of teaching. Lectures and sermons were central to university education. Students partook of ordinary and cursory lectures throughout the course of their studies. Masters gave ordinary lectures during the morning on eligible days, and during vacation, students could attend cursory lectures given by either masters or bachelors. Students in the Sorbonne, as masters, would have been in the position to teach, and Augustine's passage reminds readers to maintain their status as learners. Thomas continued his outline on the importance of learning by expanding on the relationship between teachers and students, which he does in the next three passages under the Lemma. Magister B cites Jerome as the author of the text, though the passage comes from Pseudo-Chrysostom's Opus Imperfectum. Scholars assume Chrysostom wrote this text until the 16th century, when Erasmus applied philological tools to establish it had 6th rather than 5th century origins. The passage itself is from a commentary on the book of Matthew, chapter 22. The biblical text on which this book comments addresses the questions posed to Jesus by the Herodians, Sadducees, and Pharisees in an attempt to trick him into preaching heresy. The author of the commentary wrote that, quote, "They call him teacher, so that as though one who has been praised, he would simply open the mystery of his heart and wish to have them as disciples." End quote. Magister B comes from the same Pseudo-Chrysostom text, commenting on a later part of the same section of Matthew. In this case, Thomas cited Chrysostom as the author. This passage comments on the attitude of the one who calls Jesus teacher but does not wish to be a disciple. Quote, "He calls him teacher, although he does not want to be his disciple. He asks about the greatest command who does not keep the smallest." End quote. The Lemma Magister C, credited to Isidore of Seville, outlines the importance of an intellectual lineage. That is, the importance of the teacher-student relationship. The text reads, quote, "Jerome chose Donatus as a teacher for himself in grammar, in rhetoric Victorinus, in theology Gregory Nazianzus. Similarly, Theophrastus himself selected Aristotle, Aristotle Plato, Plato Socrates, and the Queen of the South Solomon." End quote. Read together, these three passages indicate the importance of having the right teacher and the right student. The Isidore text does so positively by outlining famous intellectual lineage, and the Pseudo-Chrysostom passages by citing disingenuous praise as a method of ingratiating oneself to a teacher by those who have no real interest in being students under that so-called teacher. Through these quotations, Thomas reveals the concern for student-teacher relationships that gained increasing attention in the university. In 1255, the statutes of the University of Paris required students to have a master, and a letter addressed to the Faculty of Arts in 1289 required all masters to maintain a record of their students in order to prevent, quote, "fictitious scholars and hangers-on of the university from promotions to any standing in the faculty or from enjoying the privileges and liberties of the university," end quote. Additionally, masters were responsible for their students' behavior. Therefore, it was crucial they knew who they were. In part, the university wanted to guard against aimless students who frequently changed masters. At the University of Paris, it was essential that students be officially matriculated under a master. The lemmata under Magister B, C, and D indicate Thomas's awareness of these regulations and highlight the importance of the student-teacher relationship. After addressing the importance of the student-teacher relationship, Thomas selected a passage that concerns reading and interpreting texts. This passage from Hilary of Poitiers On the Trinity states that, quote, "The best student does not read his thoughts into the book, but lets it reveal its own, who draws from it its sense and does not import his own to it, nor force upon its words a meaning which he had determined was right before he had opened its pages," end quote. There were two kinds of intellectual inquiry in the university at this time: pursuit of knowledge for the sake of curiosity or for the sake of salvation. Accusations of curiositas did not generally apply to masters of theology, but rather to the bachelors, whose desire for fame often made them less careful in their textual interpretations and therefore required correction. Or, in the case of Thomas's selection of this passage from Hilary of Poitiers, caution. This passage reminds the reader of the importance of orthodox interpretation, which was an issue of great importance in the late 13th century, when masters who exceeded the boundaries of orthodoxy and their intellectual authority came under scrutiny and had their ideas condemned. This is evidence that there were conflicts about whether the masters maintained the requisite humility they should have had as Christian scholars in the study of texts. For the sixth passage under Magister, Thomas selected a text from Hugh of St. Victor's Book of Instructions on Reading, the Didascalicon de Studio Legendi. The book is a guide to education, what to read, why to read it, and how to read it. The selection from which this passage comes is dedicated to the process of study and is divided into chapters that address the requisite components thereof. It reads, quote, "Now the beginning of discipline is humility. Although the lessons of humility are many, the three which follow are of essential importance for the student. First, that he hold no knowledge and no writing in contempt. Second, that he blush to learn from no man. And third, that when he has attained learning himself, he not look down upon everyone else," end quote. This is the first passage under the Lemma Magister that directly outlines how a student should undertake the process of learning and what to do once that process had been achieved. The key word in this passage is humilitas. If one looks upon knowledge, writing, and people with disdain, he cannot learn from them and enters the realm of arrogance. The limited number of passages under the Lemma Magister communicates the importance of humility, continued learning, and that the position of master is risky. In order to gain a broader perspective on how Thomas of Ireland's understanding of teaching and learning, it is helpful to examine passages under other lemmata. The selections that Thomas of Ireland made from Hugh of St. Victor's Didascalicon is one way to do this. Many of the passages he chose address the issue of humility. Of the 15 passages that he took from the Didascalicon, they are included under the headings Discere, Doctrina, Studium, and Sapientia. Chapter 3 of Hugh of St. Victor's Didascalicon was important to Thomas. Under three different lemmata, he quotes nearly the entire chapter, which is entitled Concerning Humility. Under Discere I, he quotes the quotation emphasizes the importance of the process of learning. The key phrase in this passage is that students, in an attempt to appear wise, quote, suppose that they themselves were well on the road to greatness simply because they had heard the writings or words of great and wise men, end quote. The passage under Studium N emphasizes the wise student's effort to learn what he doesn't know. The passage quoted under Discere F encourages students to learn from all as the path to true wisdom. These three passages support the message of humility outlined under Magister F. Together, the four passages communicate the importance of humility and the importance of scholars' continued learning. The central idea of these three passages is to know one's limitations and to seek to learn what one does not yet know. The arrogant man cannot admit what he does not know and therefore cannot learn from others. The rank of master or doctor indicated more than a credential or permission to teach. It was entry into a position of dignity and status. Having achieved the rank of master or doctor elevated one to a similar position as a noble within the university, that is, illustrious. These ranks also represented intellectual and moral authority. Moral authority insisted that masters live according to Christian values, which included good standing in the community through, quote, impartiality, goodwill towards colleagues and pupils, and keenness in work, end quote. And it rejected the sins that threatened humility, which included, quote, financial rapacity, negligence, and vanity, end quote. Hugh of St. Victor dedicates an entire chapter to these themes, and Thomas of Ireland included the entire passage under the lemma Discuridi. It reads, quote, a certain wise man, when asked concerning the method and form of study, declared, a humble mind, eagerness to inquire, a quiet life, silent scrutiny, poverty, and foreign soil, these for many unlock the hidden places of learning. He had heard, I should judge, the saying, morals equip learning. Therefore, he joined rules for living to rules for study, in order that students might both know the standard of his life and nature of his study. Unpraiseworthy is learning stained by a shameless life. Therefore, let him who would seek learning take care above all that he not neglect discipline. End quote. Thomas's emphasis on humility aligned with the university's expectations of how a master should live. The dignity of a master was, however, restricted to the university. Social and political elites did not hold masters in the same high esteem as those from within the university. Those who sought status in political and social areas abandoned their university connections, frequently for better pay and higher prestige. That Thomas chose to address the virtuous and humble living further demonstrates his intended audience for the Manipulus Florum was students. The passage with which Thomas concludes Magister is from Boethius and states that, quote, nothing is as pernicious to a disciple as the humiliating life of a teacher, end quote. Read in light of the previous passages under Magister, it is clear that the role of teacher has many challenges and is even humiliating. Expectations were high and teachers had to meet them. Students could be devious, and texts were frequently misinterpreted by those who regarded their own intentions rather than the words themselves. These dynamics served as a warning that arrogance and ambition had no place in a good student. Instead, this lemma advocates for continued discipleship. This concluding lemma summarizes Thomas of Ireland's view of education. Do not forsake the position of disciple too readily, and as learners, maintain a posture of humility. Thank you.